Is it just me, or does it feel like the marketing playbook is always changing? I mean, who can keep up with all of this? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is the all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's also so much more. This report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. You'll get all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning to next year. Don't get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/stateofmarketing to get your free copy of the report. This is the Ops Authority Podcast, where my mission is to break down the backside of your business so you can take the right actions to grow and scale. Hey, I'm Natalie Gingrich, a small business operations expert, and I'm going to give you a front row seat to real solutions that will help you reach the vision that you have for your business, all while equipping you to put out those inevitable pesky fires and those fears that pop up. Listen in for strategies to grow your team, craft the systems and processes that you need for your business, and establish business foundations that you may have skipped over. I know you're ready to do really big things, so let's do it together. Hey, hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Ops Authority Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Gingrich, and I am kicking off today with a conversation with a dear friend, someone who's come through our certification, someone who inspires me greatly, and I'm so grateful to have her inside of our community. And bonus for me, she's also an expert coach inside of our certification. You're going to see exactly why I would have pursued her to come inside of our certification because of all the great stuff that she has, her great experience, and just her wisdom. So I'm really excited to have Sarah Newman here on the podcast today. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks so much, Nat. I'm really happy to be here. What a great introduction. Thank you.
It's awesome for us. I feel like we could always, whether it's on Voxer, whether it's here, I feel like we could just like talk all day. And you're so intentional about asking a specific question. But I know that we could like chat and escape on, you know, a good, nice ski vacation and probably talk about nerdy work the entire time. So
that would be so fun. We'll have to bookmark that.
Please. Before I dive in, just to kind of set the tone with our audience, I want to share a little bit more about you. This is her intro and her bio. And I think you'll see exactly what I saw in Sarah when she applied many, many rounds ago. But Sarah is bringing her operational expertise to online businesses since 2008. That is quite some time.
Been a journey.
Yes. The entrepreneurs that Sarah works with are full of brilliant ideas, yet they struggle to harness their team's full potential to bring their ideas to life. Sarah helps business leaders build and develop high-performing teams that can turn an idea into reality with greater ease and efficiency, positively impacting team collaboration and the bottom line. Those are two things that Sarah really focuses on. She believes that a business will never reach its full potential without the support of a high-performing team, and she's passionate about helping her clients make the biggest impact that they can through their business. Sarah brings a unique skill set and a depth of knowledge. She's a certified Colby consultant, a certified DOO, as well as a certified OBM. Sarah offers ongoing team development consulting, as well as hiring services. She ensures that the right team members are in the right roles, empowering everyone, including the CEO, to do their very best work. So that's a little bit about where Sarah is today. But as we get going, I want to talk about where Sarah was, you know, kind of a little bit of a background story into where you were before I met you.
Yeah. So it's been quite a journey. Like you read in my bio, I've been working online since 2008. And I actually started my business because I got laid off from my job, which was totally devastating at the time. I had never been laid off. I'd only been promoted and recruited between jobs that I've held. And I knew at that time that I wanted to provide operational help, but I wanted to do it on my own. And I wanted to do it for multiple businesses. And honestly, I didn't even know what that was. Mm-hmm. And so I just started, you know, researching online. And the first thing that I came across was virtual assistants, which I think was kind of new still.
I would think.
And, yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to become a virtual assistant, which, you know, was quite the journey and really just kind of launching my business. But once I had some of my first clients, I started getting referred and the momentum started building up. I quickly realized that I was doing more than just kind of admin level work. I was really helping my clients manage their teams as well and doing project management and online launches and all the things that online businesses were doing at the time. And so I kind of the next evolution for me was getting certified as an OBM or an online business manager, which was the only thing out there really for the next level of training for people who are doing what I was doing. And so I did that. I started working with retainer clients and really had a full practice. And honestly, I feel like I got a little bit in my comfort zone and I was just doing the things for my clients and, you know, learning a lot through my experience. But fast forward several years and I was just like really ready for the next thing. And, you know, the next level of growth in my business hadn't really happened. And I was kind of wondering like, you know, really what was next. And that's when I really found the DOO program.
Awesome. So when you were looking at the DOO program, I know like you sounds like you were kind of at a plateau and like successful, but not feeling completely inspired. And I resonate with that. And I think a lot of people do because we are naturally just great practitioners. Honestly, like give ourselves a pat on the back, but a feather in our cap as well is that we are most of the people in our community. And I certainly know you, Sarah. And this speaks to my past and present and future. We're just those people that, you know, when we've got a task list to do, not only do we like creating the task list, but we get a lot of joy in executing on that task list for mm-hmm. quite some time. And then we kind of look at ourselves, or at least this is, I won't, mm-hmm. you know, push this on you, but we look at ourselves and I'm like, wait, like I can be doing more. Yet this is kind of fulfilling. Like I'm checking the box and it feels status quo. I guess that would be the best word to describe my feeling there was like, I mean, I could keep doing this, but what else is out there? And so does that feel like kind of where you were?
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. I had a couple fractional clients and had a full practice, but I was doing, you know, I was managing the team. I was doing project management and launch management, but I was still like doing some implementation too, because that's kind of, you know, that was my background. That's what I had started out doing. And it was I was really good at just like figuring stuff out when I needed to. And so I found myself just like, okay, like, you know, I could be having a bigger impact in this business if I wasn't doing these things. And which is really kind of what I even help with my clients with today, you know. And the other piece to that was that I had gained a lot of experience and knowledge through doing and just the clients and the types of businesses that I was supporting. But I knew that there was still more that I didn't know. Or, you know, I didn't have like a depth of knowledge in, for example, you know, business financials, or, you know, I was tracking KPIs because I knew that I needed to, but like, was I really leveraging them the way that I needed to? And I just knew there were things that I didn't know or hadn't been formally trained on.
Yeah. So is that what, like when you came or when you saw the DOO certification? What was it that was it the content? Was it, you know, what was it that pulled you over?
I think it was really kind of the fact that the DOO certification is so like multifaceted and goes into these different pillars of business in a really deep way. And that this was no like self-paced, like quick fix program. Like this is a commitment. And I wanted that like commitment and the depth of training in each of those areas. You know, there were still things, like I said, that I felt like I didn't know or hadn't been formally trained in. And I felt like the DOO program really kind of filled those gaps.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. I felt the same way. That's kind of, I was just teaching yesterday and I was telling the, I think it was around 22. I was telling them, you know, when I was making my transition, much like the one that we're talking about right now, I was like, I was almost scared to like own the disciplines of finance and KPIs, yet I was using them and doing them, but I was like doing this in secret. And I didn't necessarily have like a method or a process, but like all of my decisions forever and always have come through some sort of data. And so it was when I was writing this curriculum, I was like, I won't feel good about putting something together for a high level operator that turns a blind eye to the importance of the numbers, whether that be in finance or whether that be in KPIs, because it was something I was doing and I just didn't, it's not like project management where I had a full system that I had been practicing for a really long time. And I could give you the 1, 2, 3s. I had to really step back and say, man, these numbers are important. But when I was writing this curriculum, it's like, okay, now I need to like divulge and come up with the system that I'm actually using. Yeah. And, you know, that was really important for me to add into this so that anybody who came after me who wanted to do, you know, and utilize all of their gifts and still be stretched in areas, because everybody who comes to the certification, myself included, which is why I'm being vulnerable and sharing that today, we all have a strength in some area. And Sarah, you and I happen to have very similar strengths. I think that's probably why we just jive so well. And we have similar, you know, historical experiences, but the project management, HR, they're my sweet spot. Like that is the area, you know, people leadership all the way down to, you know, the regulations in HR, like that stuff is where my background is and just kind of somewhere where most of my innate skills have come from. But I've never operated in those zones or at least grown in the ranks in corporate and in my own business success by not looking at numbers. And so it's like, I know it's always been there, but the disciplines I've always kind of claimed as being an expert in were in HR and project management. So I wanted to round it out. And because I don't think that you can truly be a high level operator without having a combination or an understanding of all of these, regardless of the type of operator that you want to be, whether you want to be a specialist or a generalist, you're still leveraging all of the skills of the five core areas that we talk about and we cover here in the certification.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say to that, Nat, too, is you talk about like needing to step back and look at kind of like, what is your process for like project management? Like I was doing project management too, but like I didn't have a process for it, you know, and to step into a program that like really kind of teaches you a framework or a process. Cause I know operators out there, if you're anything like me, I love me a process, right? So like to have that opportunity to actually have a process for it or a framework for it, or just a deeper understanding and knowledge of it is really what was so great about the program.
Yeah. Awesome. I know that, you know, everybody, especially operators, we like creating the 1, 2, 3, but we also like having that. I think it's not an I think. We absolutely know. And we hear from all of our, you know, students when they're coming in, most of them will tell us that they are here to gain some templates, frameworks, processes. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it, but they feel like they're having to recreate them because they've never taken the time. So in the certification, you're certainly pushed to document your process. And the good thing is with every single module, you get a jumping off point with ours, but we are very big about having you adapt our process that you're learning to your past experiences, to your best practice, to whatever works for you, your industry, your clients, your level of client, your scale of business that you're working with, because there's, you know, everyone should adapt to fit them. And, you know, we've had students who come through who are like, man, I teach our strategic mapping inside of Trello. And they're like, yeah, I don't like Trello at all. It's like, great, here's the framework. And now you get to put this in and build this even further in the tool of your choice or in the process of your choice. Yeah. So that's always going to be important to me because I don't think anything is really cookie cutter. And when we start to truly like blindly copy and paste somebody's process, typically there's a lot of resistance because it's not yours.
Yeah. I think the DOO program also, like, you can learn about, you know, a certain pillar, right? And you can say, you know, this is actually not for me. Like, I don't like financials or I don't like KPIs. You have the knowledge and the understanding of it to actually know that maybe that's not something that you want to do, but there's a huge community of resources for people who do love that. And so you can really choose. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to follow this particular method. It gives you the depth of knowledge and understanding of these important pieces of business. And then really, like you said, like, lets you tailor and create a business that you want to create.
Yeah. And you've been able to do that. I want to go into kind of where you are today and actually kind of the zigs and zags that you've taken since you've come through the certification. But I had one other thought to wrap up that piece, which is the fact that even if you're going to be a specialist in, let's say, HR, if you're going to be a specialist in HR, you still need to know all of these other skills. Yeah. Because if you're going to be a specialist, you're going to come into a business at a high level. You can't dismiss the skills that you don't want. They're just not the skill that you are necessarily selling. And so in talking about the specialist, I think when our worlds collided and we, you know, started partnering through the DOO program, that's where your transition from being more of a global or holistic operational leader got a little bit more narrow and more focused on that team piece, because it sounds, and what I know is that team piece has always been an area of passion for you. And where there is passion, there's always expertise, regardless of how long you've been doing it, because there's interest and it's exciting for you. But that's where you felt like you were contributing to the teams, even when you were in your VA days and in your OBM days. But as our worlds came together, I saw a shift from you from moving more, you know, into a more specific finite area. And so with that came, you know, redefining who Sarah was. So we'll start at the Sarah level and then what your offer looks like and then who your audience was. And so, you know, that transition from general to specialized has been something that I've really admired in your work, and something I want to talk about and have you share with our listeners today are the ways that you kind of went about that, you know, narrowing of scope. Yeah. And the different things that you've offered as you know, in our couple of years together.
Yeah. So I think I started, like, I was working with people on a fractional, you know, retainer basis, a handful of clients, and I knew it was time for something more. And I also, honestly, like, I wanted to increase my income. I wanted to work with more people and impact more businesses. And I think the first kind of taste in that was I started actually doing some hiring work, because I have a real passion for finding the right people. And I know it's not just about the tasks they're doing. It's really about who they are as a person and being aligned with the mission and the vision of the company. And so I started doing some hiring projects, and I was like, okay, I'm doing these projects. I'm doing fractional work on the side. Honestly, it was a lot. I think that year I completely, like, you know, burned myself out probably doing too much. And I was like, okay, I need to take steps to, like, towards being this consultant that I want to be. And so I let go of one of my fractional clients, which was a big step because she was really an ideal client and I loved working with her and the team, but I knew, like, I had to create space for this to happen. And so it was a lot of figuring stuff out. And luckily, like, I was in the DOO program. I had seen, like, people in that program who were also wanting to be consultants. And Natalie, with your support and helping me kind of, like, vision, like, what is consulting to me? Like, what does that look like? How am I going to be working with my clients? I was able to kind of craft a consulting offer and actually see how I could work with people, not on an ongoing in-depth basis, because this was, like, really new to me, right? I've been doing this for a long time and holding kind of the same capacity for my clients. And so, like, stepping out and, like, really coming in at a higher level as a consultant was new to me. I knew I had the skill set to do it, but it was, like, it was new in the way that it was, like, really a mindset shift for me working with clients like that. And to be honest, I started out like, okay, my consulting offer is going to be kind of general operations. I'm going to focus on people and process and the strategic plan. And I knew I could step in with the strategic mapping as a one-off offer that could lead into consulting. And so that's kind of what my offer looked like. But I think that the team piece, I just wanted to narrow it down because I was trying to talk about too many things. And the team development piece is something I think that comes really naturally to me. It's something that I hear from the teams that I work with about the impact that I have just on their team and in their kind of like group. And it's something that I'm really passionate about. And so I wanted to narrow the focus so I could really just go deep in working with teams. And now that I'm there, like I can see the impact that it has on all areas of the business, you know? So I'm not leaving my, you know, operations or my strategic planning stuff behind. Like it comes into the work that I'm doing all of the time. But now I'm just like, I know the message I'm trying to deliver to my potential clients, and I really know kind of where I can focus to make the biggest impact.
It's a new month, and you know what that means. It's time for me to share another podcast from the HubSpot Podcast Network that I am going to be dedicated to tuning into this month. And this month is Hustle and Flowchart. I just saw Flowchart in the title and I was like, ooh, yes, I need to know more. This podcast, Joe talks about how to build a business so it gives you freedom and fuel for your life. And I think all of us need a lot of that right now. He also discusses systems and mindset tweaks, reframes, and strategies for entrepreneurs. Something I know that my listeners will really appreciate is that Joe has not created this podcast for someone who's looking to build a billion-dollar business. This podcast is for people like you and I, people who are looking to build systems that work for us and also to make this entrepreneurial journey way more fun and at the same time still bring in more money. So why don't you listen along with me this month, Hustle and Flowchart. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Yeah. So describe what your offer looks like today. I know, like, if you guys were listening to this kind of journey leading to this offer that she has today, she's really iterated about 2 to 3 times since our time together. And, you know, she's also been open, things I know about Sarah, she's been open as aligned clients and prospects came to her. She would adapt and be flexible as she was trying to figure out what, you know, perfect looks like for her next best self. And so I think today where I, you know, what is so exciting to me and fulfilling to what you do is the offer you have today is the offer I saw for you like 2 years ago. It's where I thought you would end. And it's so hard. I think it is so hard. We stop ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we are methodical. We're really you know, slow processors and very methodical and analytical. So that typically makes all of our, you know, next best self drawn out. That journey to get there is a little drawn out because we want to be safe. We want to be safe while we're doing it. And so what does that look like for Sarah? I will share for you because I think everyone needs to hear this. But as she knew where she wanted to go, and she had to be patient. And sometimes that patience in between meant taking on a couple of hiring projects. And it meant talking to a client that was really like me, or a prospect that was like, man, she or he is really a great fit for me. And I'm going to do, maybe it's not exactly teamwork that she ended up doing. It was a short-term project, you know, maybe doing some project management and some other things that she's highly skilled in, but they weren't necessarily perfect for where she thought she would want to be.
Yeah.
It filled the space, it brought in income, and they were good people to work with. And it's a reminder to all of us that in the process or in the journey of getting to where you want to go, it's okay to take on some aligned work. I'm not telling you to take on misaligned work because I know Sarah would never have done that. But, you know, filling in the dots as you go and still learning and growing by the experiences. And I think most of all, having that safety of the income that we all need. She and we all need that income. And at the same time, it's still good work that we learn from and still enjoy doing. So yeah, tell us about the offer that you have today. I think it's really a cool way of showing how you can go from general to really specialized.
Yeah. So today I work with clients either on a 6 or 12 month basis, and I help them, first of all, kind of design what their organization looks like both today. Like, so what does the org design look like today? And what does the future org design look like that supports their business growth? And then I help them define their team roles and responsibilities. And so one of the things that I really love to do that I didn't want to leave behind is I love to work directly with the team members, not just the business owner. And so I interview all of the team members, learn about their roles, learn about their strengths using Colby, and then help them create role descriptions. And also bring that together where the team is like really sharing what their role is and what they're accountable for as a team. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of ambiguity and even questions in an established business about who's actually responsible for what. And so just really helping them create that clarity. And then I help the business owner put a development framework so that they're constantly developing their team and supporting their growth in a way that's aligned with the strategic objectives of the business. And I can give them that framework, or I can also facilitate some of those development conversations and even do some one-on-one coaching with their team if the business owner wants to continue our work together.
Yeah, I mean, so many businesses are built by just piecing and scrapping things together. And I know this to be true because I've done the exact same thing. Most of the time, it's not intentional. It's just the way we kind of band-aid things together to reach the first level of success. And then the second level of success, you're just going with it, right? And then it's about the third, the fourth, whatever. We don't have to get specific in numbers, but there's a certain point in our business journey and building our business where we're like, wait, this is actually dysfunctional. And what I know and what you know from working with so many, you know, business leaders is they reach that point where they recognize themselves like, oh, wait, I kind of need to rebuild this. It may not mean like scrapping every, you know, the whole term of burning it down is not, I don't believe that you need to do that with teams. And I think that you would agree, but they reach the point where they're like, wait, they're waving the red flag. Like, I need some help here because yeah. I don't really know how I got to this point. It's okay. It's been working.
Yeah.
But I know now if I want to go to the next level, I need to clean this up. I need to actually focus on my team instead of my product, instead of my marketing, which is the driver for a lot of businesses as they're leading up to that scale point. So yeah. What level, like what business, what type of business, actually what like maturity of business are you working with to be able to deliver an offer like yours?
So the clients that I work with now are looking to take their business over the $1 million mark and probably up to about the $5 million mark. So they still have a pretty like relatively small team. I haven't before, but I could work with like just, for example, leadership teams in a larger business, but I'd like to work with kind of a fairly small team. Mm-hmm.
So as you've gotten more clear in what your offer is, I think that the person that you want to work with has also been refined as well. And It is what something I admire about you is you know pretty quickly if this is a fit or not a fit based on, you know, the criteria that works for you. And as we grow as, you know, service providers and business owners, it's really, really important to know who your offer is for.
Yeah.
One thing that I firmly believe and have taught like at Growth Getters at our in-person event is that I believe that you need to have your offer and then find your avatar. And I think a lot of people, especially in the online space or business leaders and teachers will say, oh no, identify your avatar. Who do you want to work with? And then reverse engineer an offer.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to switch that. And you've done a really good job of doing that, knowing, you know, what it is that you want to do and then pursuing the audience that fits you. When we do this, you could find yourself and the people that you turn away and share with our community and say, hey, I've worked or I talked to this person and guess what? It's not a good fit for me. Anybody else here specialize in that, which is awesome. That just kind of focuses on or highlights the community aspect that we have here. But if you talk to people and then you're reverse engineering, I did that when I first started, yeah, to be fully transparent. It was like, I would get on a coffee chat, I would talk to somebody and I would be like, what is it that I could do for this person?
Yeah.
So what happens in that place? I end up like sharing, you know, really low level qualities that I could still do.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to be happy in that business for a long time because they're not getting the best expression or the next best version of me. They're getting, you know, the lightest, the easiest, the lowest frequency, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's not an area we like to stay in. So,
yeah. You end up saying yes to a lot of things from that perspective. Like you're like, I could do this and then I could do this and then I could do this. And you don't really love doing any of it.
Yeah. Your scope is just so wide. It's not the best version of us. And it's we talk about here in the certification program.
Yeah.
So Sarah, I think as you were going through our program, you were able to achieve all of the milestones that we set out for you. And in that process, you know, you showed me, you showed your entire cohort, you continue to have a great influence on our students who are going through our programs today in what success looks like for you and the autonomy that you were looking for, the leadership level that you were looking for, and then also just the ambition to keep going when it felt unclear. I know we have sat, you know, nose to nose and zoom to zoom in some deep boxer to boxer, just deep conversations as you've been trying to figure out what that level looks like for you. I'm going to ask you a question you're probably not even thinking, but you know, it's been a joy to watch you in these last 2 years go, you know, get to this point. And this is a phenomenal sweet spot for you.
Yeah.
I wish I could have shortcutted this for
you. I know. Tell me about it.
I think the journey to get here is helps you to get very clear in what your scope is. And I think that's why you've got such clarity in your offer today. But where do you think Sarah will be in 3 to 5 years from now? I know this is like this is a question we want to have figured out, but what do you see for yourself?
In 3 to 5 years, I will have a boutique consulting firm where I'm just focusing on team development. I'm working with a handful of clients at a time, and I have a 6 to 12 month wait list.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. And you can't get to that until you've got your, you know, this offer really crystallized. And so I'm so proud of you for all the effort that you've put in and just how you've trusted yourself in the journey,
even when
it didn't feel solid, good, clear. Yeah.
I mean, it's an experiment. And I think that's one of the things that I really had to embrace is that, you know, I wanted to have it all figured out. And I realized that actually by doing the work is the best way to figure it out. And so I just needed to jump in and start doing it in order to really see like even where my offer is not working or what is working and what's not, you know, what could be better. And so I just needed to start doing the work and trust that the perfect process would come from that.
Action creates confidence. Confidence creates cash. It's a saying we say all the time here. And I just had a former student reach out to me on Voxer because she had posted something in the Ops Insiders group. And I commented on it. And I was like, she was asking about like how to do something. And I said, you know, you're just going to have to get out there and do it. You already know how to do this. And she came to my Voxer and she was like, Natalie, she's like, I hear you all the time saying, action creates confidence. And she's like, you know what? I was a little bit like, whenever I saw your response. And for the last 3 days, I've been hyper-focused on your response, on doing what you said, which was action, action, action. She's like, and I have 3 leads. In 3 days, I ended up generating 3 different leads for myself, but it came down to action, to just doing the work. I've been sitting here complaining and getting frustrated with myself. And it's really because it was the lack of doing anything. I was expecting something different to happen. And so always a good reminder. And I need the exact same reminder because we are overthinkers and we want it to just be perfect, understood, and that's not how business works. It just isn't.
Yeah.
I wish we could change it, but that is not the case.
Yeah.
Getting the process, just one more thing I want to chat about before we wrap up is we talked a lot as you were coming up with this offer. We talked a lot about the process. What does Sarah's process look like? And I remember sketching it on my own piece of paper as we were talking of like, hey, you should do this and then this and then this. And you were like, well, and then you came up with that process and then you tried, you executed on the process and you refined it again. And so, you know, you need those clients along your journey to test this. You and clients are your testing ground.
Yeah.
They don't know that they're your testing ground because they're still getting your best work.
Yeah.
At the same time, you now have an even more refined process than the one that I drafted on this piece of paper because you were taking action and trying it on.
Yeah. I love looking back on old notebooks and seeing like the evolution of it. And it's really about just getting in and doing it. And, you know, even the other day I was like, oh, actually, you know, I should do this before this. And, you know, so it's really just a matter of getting in there, doing it, seeing what's working. Every business is different. Every team is different. And so being flexible and just being strategic and looking at like how your process is working and the work that you're doing will just help you make it better and better every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a very big believer in that. And you got to start somewhere and refine. You have to refine if you want it to continue to move towards your next best state. And so sometimes that's a full pivot. Sometimes that is, you know, changing the way that you work. Sometimes it's just a little bitty tweak that brings you a lot of success. And everyone is, you know, everyone's going to have a different, you know, road to get to there. And it never ends, by the way.
Yeah.
Turns out that Robert Orkin was correct. So the road goes on forever.
Yeah. So, you do not arrive.
Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with us today. This, you know, our episode today is intended to highlight students who have come through our program and have been inspirations to us in their journey. And in this case, it's not only to me, but also to the students that you're influencing in our program. And now today to all the listeners who hang out with us every single week. So thank you for trusting us in your journey. Thank you for continuing to be a strong partner for me and for all of us. And I'm very, very proud of what you've created. I feel like I have the best view of seeing you try on these different things and also just reminding our community of the variety of options that we have when we're going through this, because everyone has a different next best self. And I'm never shy in sharing that I love working deeply and holistically with companies, and our students like you inspire me to look at this work and the skills that we have and know that we can be really creative with the way that we deliver on the exact same, a very similar skill set. So
yeah,
I love the consulting space that you're in. And I wish you continued success in all that you do. And I'm so grateful that you have chosen to come through the DO certification and continue to be a part of it.
Yeah. Thank you. Now, I am really grateful our paths have crossed and I've really appreciated your support over the years. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, friends, as we wrap up today, I want to remind you guys, if you want to have a story similar to Sarah's, but your own, of course, then I invite you to take a peek, a deeper look into our DOO program. We're going to be kicking off our 23rd cohort here in just a few weeks, which is really wild. Talk about an evolution and how the road you never know in front of you will be here one day. We've twisted and turned and pivoted and added and subtracted and all of those things, just like Sarah mentioned, in our own delivery of this gold standard in high-level operational training. So if you're interested, head on over to directorofops.com and you can learn all about it there. Friends, thank you so much for hanging out and listening in today. And just hopefully you're just as inspired by Sarah's story as I am. And we will be back next week here on the Ops Authority Podcast.
Thank you for investing just a little bit of time to listen to this episode of the Ops Authority Podcast. I am so grateful to be surrounded by real action takers like you who are invested in growing their business through operations. Will you add one more action to your to-do list today? Visit theopsauthoritypodcast.com, where you can join our community of business owners and other ops experts. You're going to hear from me in a week, but in the meantime, do big things on the backside of your business.